Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We're going to look at two verses this morning, 22 and 23, mainly at 22, but we're back in our series in Advent. We're in week 3 of it now. The title of this morning's message is Jesus Christ, the Only Joy. And if you have been in this, you kind of see, as Brother Ron just lit that other candle there, next week we're going to culminate with the love candle, and then ultimately the center candle is the Christ candle. The greenery represents, it doesn't die. God does not die. And the picture of the circle there is eternal, eternity. Doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. And I thank the Lord that though I cannot comprehend that, I remember as a child trying to say, well, wait a minute, where'd God come from? I thank the Lord that in my finite mind, I cannot comprehend the infinite mind of God. And as I shared last Sunday, just because I can't understand how the Holy Spirit of God indwells us, the singular Spirit of God indwells us all over the world that know Him as Savior, just because I cannot understand it does not do anything to change the truth of it or the magnificence of God's holiness, His power, and that this is the most important, that God's love is again incomprehensible. I pray if you're here this morning, and maybe this is the first time that you've heard about Advent and the first time that you're going through this, I hope it does what the intention is. The Advent is to celebrate the coming of something, the coming of something important. And as we look to Jesus this month, we focus on Jesus Christ's birth. Some people say, well, they don't know for sure that it was on December 25th. That doesn't matter. You know what matters? Is that we're recognizing the fact that Jesus Christ came. Just because we celebrate it on December 25th, yes, it doesn't matter if we didn't know exactly the day that it happened. We are celebrating the day that Jesus Christ was born and what, most importantly, that represents. Amen? And this morning, what we know is that Jesus Christ represents hope. He represents peace. He represents joy. He represents love. And ultimately, it's in that little gift of that newborn child and that manger so long ago allowed himself to become nothing. It is so profound when you look at what Jesus did. He did not want to come as an earthly king with all the pomp and the circumstance of that, because that was not the intention of him. Jesus came to pay the price. He came, and by the way, when you look at him on the cross, completely abandoned by everyone. He had no support. He had to die alone. He had to bear our sin. And I thank the Lord this morning that the finished work of Jesus Christ is what we can rest in this morning. Again, we cannot comprehend it. We can't fully understand it. But it is no less the awesome gift of love that is Jesus Christ, our only, one and only Savior and our Lord. That center candle, as we look at on that final Sunday morning, I thank the Lord for the Christ candle, that Jesus Christ is the beginning, He's the end. He is the first, He is the last. You think about the sin of Adam and how Jesus Christ, through His life, His birth, His death, and resurrection, fixed that period in history that catastrophically changed things. And as we experience the sin today, that we are, even as Christians, still battle that sin nature, it is such an awesome thing to think that Jesus Christ was able to pay for our sin, to be the perfect sacrifice, to do what? To once again restore our ability to have fellowship with God, which is what had ultimately been the beauty of the Garden of Eden. Have you ever thought about what it would have been like to be Adam and to walk with God? You ever thought about that? I have. Of course, you know, me and my finite thinking, God, what's it, right? What's it like? No. Right? You know, it's to me, it would have been the picture almost in a sense of a father talking to a son. You know? Hey, Dad, you know what I did today? Yeah. But tell me. You know what I mean? It's that interactive, that personal relationship that the God of creation wants with us. You know, people will say, you know, God knows our thoughts. Why do I need to pray? Do you realize what praying does? It is for us. And it shows us that we recognize God wants to hear from us, even though He knows what we're thinking, He knows what we need. What we're doing is we're showing God, hey, I recognize that you, that I matter to you, that you want to hear my thoughts. You want to hear my struggles and my battles. So if you're here today and you're in desperate need of joy, I thank the Lord today that the one we proclaim today, the Christ child, the Savior, is here today to carry you, to bear your burdens. Whether you're like me and you're battling the sinus stuff and your head feels like it's in a cloud, or maybe you've had the best week. I hope you have. You've had the best week of your year and you have been anticipating the fellowship and all that it represents as being a Christian, and the brothers and sisters and your family are going to excitedly share in this thing we know as Christmas and celebrate Jesus, but also the family and all that it matters and means to you. But guess what? It's okay if you've had a bad week or a good week. God knows exactly where you're at. And I pray that if you're here today and you're in desperate need of an infusion of joy, you're at the place, and we share the one this morning that will give you that. The one that says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, in its promise, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn, for I'm gentle and humble in hearts, and you'll find rest for your souls. So if you're here and you're on the mountain or you're in the valley, I thank the Lord that God has everything we need today to encourage, to challenge us, convict, or whatever it is that needs to be done. I hope you found this morning's scripture again in Galatians chapter 5. You're going to look at two verses, verses 22 and 23. And if you are physically able, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Father God, we thank you, Lord, this morning again for this privilege to worship you, Lord, this Sabbath day that you have set aside for us, God, to proclaim, Lord, the truth, God, the lifting up a sacrifice of worship to you corporately today. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you that we know that you have made this day. God, let us rejoice in it. Lord, let us be glad in it. Lord, I pray right now as your word is read, Lord, we know it will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. Lord, have your way in our midst. God, above all, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, you are the only one that can open hearts, that can reveal our lost state. God, I pray this morning that you would do that if there is one. God, I pray that they would not only experience that, but God would respond to that loving call from you, to lay down their life, to accept you as Lord and Savior, knowing you will cleanse them, you will forgive them of their sin, and you will truly give them the reason, the understanding that you created them for, and allow them to live that abundant life that we know in your word promises. Lord, we commit all of this to you, and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Something kind of neat to think about as God laid this message on my heart, since we're looking at this picture through Advent of what Jesus Christ, you know, the coming, looking at this coming of him and all that Jesus means to us through his birth. Before Jesus came, you also, there's a lot of these parallels that I think are contrasts that I think are good for us in helping us understand it. Now, before Jesus came, us as Gentiles would have been hopeless. We would have been without peace. Why? Because there's only peace found when the very one that created you, you have fellowship with, right? And again, in the Garden of Eden, what do we see? We saw this breaking, this fracturing of this relationship with God and man through sin. It created this chasm and this thing that separates us from God, known as hell, that if we die lost, we in a sense walk off that cliff into an eternity separated from God because we have not been bridged back together to fellowship with God. And what was the only thing that could do that? Someone that the wages of sin is death. So someone had to die. Someone had to pay the price in order to restore that. But what are we? We're sinners. The only way that we could die and pay for our sin would be to die for our sin and stay separated from God for eternity. Well, what did God in the infinite wisdom and his love sent Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, again, lacking male DNA. The male DNA is where the sin nature is passed on through. So because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, he lacked that sinful male DNA. hence his ability to be the perfect lamb, the sacrificial lamb. And this morning, what the beauty of it is that in his death, he knew us. Before the foundations of the world were laid, he knew us. So when he went to the cross, he knew which one of us would come to saving faith in him. And he paid every last sin, every last debt that you and I owed was paid in full. You know why it's so heartbreaking when Christians have asked for forgiveness, but then allow the enemy to say, you know, look what you did last month. Look what you did. Look what you did when you were 19, 18, 17. Look at the sorry wife, the sorry husband. Look at the sorry, whatever you're occupying. Look how sorry you are. And you know, you have done the best to remedy. You've prayed that God would give you strength. You've asked for forgiveness, but then he tries to bring up what's already been forgiven. The Bible says that what? He separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. Forgiveness, it is forgotten. But what does the enemy want to do? He wants to try to define us by who we were apart from Christ or who we were when we messed up or we failed. Don't forget, I shared in our Sunday school this morning, when the enemy tries to define you by periods of brokenness in your life or sin, you remind him, yes, I am broken, but I have been saved by the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And his forgiveness, the Bible says, separates my sin. It is forgotten. When he reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what you do. Don't let him hijack your life, your joy, your peace, your hope. He has no right to that. And the only way that happens is when we allow that to happen. Don't let that happen. Walk in the joy of your Lord, because remember, there was hopelessness before Jesus came. That's what's so neat about this. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, we're looking at our one this morning. Joy. So what is neat about this, when you look at the title of the message, Jesus Christ, the only joy, there was no joy before Jesus Christ came. There was no hope for us. There was no peace. There was no one to reconcile us to God, to pay that price. What is so amazing about what Jesus represents in his coming is it literally represents everything to us. Do you realize, husband? Do you realize, wife? Do you realize, child? You and I cannot be what God intended us to be until we've been reconciled to God, when we've been forgiven, when we have been saved. Do you realize there's not one person in here that's able to fulfill the role that God intended us to fulfill apart from the Holy Spirit of God giving us the ability to fulfill that role? Not one of us. That's what's so neat about thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us, is the hope this morning that you and I have to truly live in everything that Jesus Christ intended us to be as Christians. Listen to that first part of verse 22 again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. First thing I want to share with you this morning comes from that part of the verse. Jesus Christ's birth opened the gateway for true joy. Jesus Christ's birth, just think about this. Before then, there was no ability really to have true joy. Remember, you're living under the law. You're living under this mountain, this weight of something that was unable to be kept. You've got all this ceremonial law, and you've got all this moral law, and oh no, this feast and that feast, and oh no, what if I... We didn't have the Holy Spirit convicting you when your thought life got to where it wouldn't. You didn't have the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life like you and I have now as New Testament believers under the New Covenant. But what is joy? Okay? There was no ability to have joy back then. There was really, in all honesty, I guess it would have been real fear. That was kind of what they lived under, as a continual fear. I wouldn't want to be a priest back then, right? Because they had a rope tied to his leg with the bells on it. His robe had bells on the bottom of it. You know why? When the bells stopped ringing, they pulled him out. You know why that would have happened? Why he'd gotten smoked in there, dropped dead? He hadn't done something right. And when you went into the Holy of Holies, brothers, you better have things right, because if not, you were toast. They would reel you on out. Hey, you're up. I think I got a stomach bug. I got to go to the house. Right? I cannot imagine what that fear. But see, remember this. The Old Testament and this picture that we're seeing is God showing that mankind cannot fulfill the law. There was no way to do it. And what that whole entire Old Testament is showing us with the Israelites over and over messing up and going into bondage and then crying out to God for deliverance and then God restoring them and then the apathy setting in, right? This perpetual picture of that was only God showing us that we can't do it. There's no way man can do it. But guess what? I'm going to send the Messiah, the Savior. He's coming. And what happened? Came. And I think for you and I, what is such a blessing for you and I is because we're able to look and we're able to see the Old Testament. We're able to, I don't know, call it empathize, sympathize, whatever, but say, I realize, I can't imagine what it would have been like. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit because I'm desperately aware of how broken I am. I pray and I hope you are too. And how apart from God's Spirit, His conviction, and His power, we are desperately flawed and wrecked, train wrecks, I would say. And I thank the Lord that I'm not under that old covenant. Not only that, but as a Gentile, again, we would have been history. There was no hope. But I thank the Lord this morning that Jesus Christ's birth opened this gateway for us for not temporal, carnal, worldly joy. It is always fleeting. But true joy. Listen what true joy, Merriam-Webster defines this as joy. The emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. The expression or exhibition of such emotion, gaiety, a state of happiness or felicity, bliss, a source or cause of delight. So think about it. The emotion evoked by the well-being, success, or good fortune by the prospect of possessing what one desires. What is the basic desire of man? I want to be happy. I want to be joyful. I want to have hope. I want to have peace. What is everybody all over the world saying, at least in theory? I want peace. I want peace. Why can't we all just get along? You ever heard that old saying? Was it Ross Perot said that, I believe? Who? Rodney King. There you go, him too. Can't we all just get along? We can't. Sin messed it up. So the true joy that mankind desires, so as you see this prospect of possessing what one desires, there you'll find someone that doesn't want peace or joy or hope, that loves to bathe and just grovel in a bed of misery and all the beauty that entails. But you know, for the most part, everyone in here would say, you know, I just want peace. I just want to have joy. I just want to experience love. What's so amazing is what we celebrate this morning is the singular gateway of everything that you and I were created to have experienced before sin broke the beauty of what God had created. But what's so amazing is we think about what Jesus represents to us, it is the coming of the one who was going to open that gateway for man to once again talk to God. The division, the dividing wall broken down through Jesus. It's profound to me. It's actually so simplistic when you think about it. Adam sinned, and in Christ all have been made righteous that come to him by grace and through faith. God still gives man no free will, which just blows my mind. Free will to what? Free will to say, I don't want it. God, I don't want it. Free will to say, yes, Lord, I'm broken and I want to be whole. I know, God, that there is no way I will ever experience peace, joy, hope, love, and ever know my divinely created purpose until you as my creator and I have fellowship. It's awesome. You know, when I came to faith in Christ, of course, you know, I I was my own man. I was a self-made man kind of a thing. And I'd go kill it, drag it home, you know, feed the family. That's what I was. But, you know, I really never realized the extent to which my unfulfillment had reached. There was no amount of earthly possessions. I was a very active and, you know, outdoors type of person. And I just loved everything to do with outdoors and all of those kind of things. But I never understood why each of these things I would get that I thought would find my solace finally in a lot of really neat things as a young person. It just always left me in a short period afterwards with that same innate longing for more or something different that would once again, like a mirage, I would see it and say, if I get that, I will finally have this peace. I'll finally feel fulfilled. Once again, just like when you're riding down the highway in Florida and you see that puddle of water, I don't know how far it is, I guess a half a mile away. And when you're on the interstate in Florida, that puddle is going as fast as you are and you never are able to catch it. And that's what trying to find peace and joy and hope in all that I was doing, that's exactly as I look back trying to understand what my life was made of, and that was it. I wanted nothing more than to feel the refreshment of hitting that puddle, of getting in that water, that it was just always one step ahead. See, as followers of Christ, we possess the essence of joy. Remember, why do we see there? The fruit of the Spirit is. Well, until Jesus Christ came, and we see at Pentecost the giving of the Holy Spirit, there was no fruit of the Spirit. Because there was not a permanent indwelling of the Spirit in the Old Testament, as we see. So the fruit of the Spirit is, this morning, joy. It's not something that's gotten by getting that right job, getting the right wife, ladies, getting the right husband, having, you know, 2.5 kids and a dog and whatever it else is. There's always, you say, the motto for happiness and, you know, the 3-bedroom, 2-car garage, 70-inch flat screen TV and healthy. As long as we got that money in the bank, we're great. No, we think that. That's not joy. That's not peace. What that is the enemy trying to deceive us into thinking that we will find it on our own. That this is the mystery of life unveiled in people or possessions. Well, this is what I know for a fact. Houses burn down. Cars wreck. They wear out. Houses wear out. Kids rebel. Parents die, get sick, get divorced, beat each other up. All the other beauty of the brokenness of life manifests to us. We see it day in and day out. We can pretend that our empire of dirt is at peace and joy and love apart from Christ, but this is what I know from experience. Until the peace of God and the joy of the Lord truly springing from the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You are a semblance. You are nothing more than a mirage of what you want. And I know that. I'm telling you, I know that from experience. But I'll tell you what I know. I know all that the world would have said I lost when I got hurt in September of 2004. The world, in a sense, would have looked at, wow, you got saved and your life went down the tubes. Well, that's a real good God, isn't it? Wow, if that's the God that you serve, I don't want nothing to do with that because it's seeming like you lost everything when you got saved. I lost what didn't matter. See, I lost all my friends because I couldn't go out with them and party anymore and run around and act wild and crazy. I lost all these physical possessions because God gave me those and then I was able to sell them and it kept us going and not losing our home. I lost all those things that actually added no really intrinsic value to my life in a spiritual sense and who I was as a new follower of Christ. And I gained a peace in the midst of a torrent of suffering like I could never explain to you in a million years. Right after I'd gotten hurt, I was in the wheelchair then. It was right when Hurricane Katrina happened. And some friends of mine were going down there to do cleanup for it. They were doing a government contract. And there was a young man that worked for a friend of mine, and he had two little twin boys. And I remember him coming up, and I let him use my cutting torches to do some work on that, do some welding and things on a trailer they were retrofitting to go down there and work. And I remember this young man, he said to me, he looked at me, and he remembered now, me is just as wild as wild, and he just said, I couldn't live like that. How can you do it? And I said, Marty, I'll tell you something, man. I said, if God hadn't saved me and I hadn't given my life to Jesus Christ, there is no way possible I could do this. I said, I got peace, Marty. I said, I sit here every day in my home by myself when my wife takes the kids to daycare and she goes to work. I said, but Marty, I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the Lord, there's no way. He said, there ain't no way I could do it. He went down to New Orleans, and if I remember correctly, it was about 6 weeks later. There were some kids, when they got off work, that were in the neighborhood and had bicycles. Well, he had little kids, so it was like, you know, missing your kids. So you're out there, and they're all talking, and these little boys were jumping a little ramp that had a tire. You know, kids, when you take a tire and you put a little piece of plywood, and you jump a ramp, right? Everybody's done it. I did the big ones, wreck and everything, right? You know what I'm talking about. So they kept doing that, and then they started teasing him. He said, I can do that. And the boy said, come on, you do it. And he's, no, I don't have my bike here. You know, my kids are at home. I got mine at Yana. They kept on, come on, why don't you do it? If you want to do it, come on, do it. So, you know, you have kids at home. You want to be a good sport. So he gets on the bike. And he goes around, and he comes up on it. Didn't get enough speed. Went over forward. Broke his neck. I'll never forget when I got the call. He was paralyzed from the neck down. Brothers and sisters, you know what I will never forget? He was in worse shape than I was. He gave up and he died. I'll never forget it. I remember my words to him. I tried to go see him and they wouldn't let me in. But I want to tell you what happened. He had no joy. He had no peace. He had no hope that the reality of this life that I had shared, because remember, I was hopeless then. But I think as he thought back, I know he would have had to have thought about our conversation because this had not happened long. This morning, my question to you is, where's your joy? Is it because your wife is doing well and y'all are your relationship's better than ever? Ladies, it's because your husband and your relationship's better than ever. It's because your kids are doing well in school. They haven't shamed you, embarrassed you. They haven't gone out and done something foolish. Is that why you have joy this morning and you have peace at the homestead? If that's where your joy rests, I would challenge you today to step back and to recognize, apart from knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the peace of God and the joy from the Lord and of the Lord is the glue that will hold your family, your relationship, your job, and all of your life together. But I can tell you one thing, without that, there will come a shaking in your life. I don't know if it'll be because you get the phone call that one of you is terminally sick in an intersection, having lost their life. You saw with me, you know, this week, year alone, May, whatever it was, when I could have gone with that motorcycle. These things that happen so fast, and we think, you know, 2 years ago when I had pneumonia twice, and they said if I'd have still been a smoker, I would have died. These things that you don't realize, and these directions that God leads us in, and the choices that you made, mine to yield to the Lord's work and power, not realizing that through God delivering me from cigarettes back then, literally delivered me from death less than 3 years ago. You don't realize how consequential, not inconsequential, how consequential following God's path for our life is. The blessing of God, wondering today, If you're like myself, God, when am I going to get that phone call? I don't like the phone ringing, I'll be honest with you. It unnerves me a little bit. Because a lot of times when I get calls, there's something happening, and I want people and everything to go well. Amen? I don't want bad news. I'm just going to be honest with you. I would like to put my head in the sand sometime, and I just want to sing Kumbaya, and my wife will tell you she lives in a bubble. She says she smiles all the time. She lives in a bubble. Everybody's good. Amen? That's okay. Don't burst your bubble. But it's okay. I mean, sometimes I want to live in that and believe that everything's wonderful, everything's great, but y'all, life's tough. In the power of God this morning, I know that Jesus Christ's birth opened that doorway for true joy that you and I know today as followers of Christ. So my question in closing is this. Do you have that true joy? Not a joy that's based on the circumstances. Not a joy. I talked to a man yesterday, dear, dear brother in the Lord. In 2008, I never knew this, when I met him, it was right during the 2008 downturn. He was right at retirement age. He said to yesterday, you know, 2008 was one of the darkest times in my life. I said, really? He said, I lost $200,000 in my retirement in a matter of weeks. I went, brother and sister, he wasn't no spring chicken then. Do you know how long it takes to recoup that kind of loss? You don't recoup that in a few months or a few years. He recouped $8,000 of it. $200,000. You imagine not being a follower of Christ? That's enough to make you go outside and do something foolish. But as a follower of Christ, you know what it is? The peace of God. The joy from the Lord that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts in Christ Jesus. It can all be gone. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what God says in His Word? He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory, hallelujah, amen. That is what I'm talking about this morning. That joy that transcends circumstances of life. Joy that transcends getting a phone call from your child saying, listen, I don't ever want to talk to you guys again. I'm sick and tired of this Christianity stuff, this God stuff. I want you to take a flying leap. I'll see you in the netherworld. How you handle that if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ? That's difficult. I talk to my son continually. He shares all the time about fellow Marines that are serving with him right now that have no communication with their family at all. Breaks my heart. He said they used to rib him about talking to me every day until he has it on speakerphone so they hear my conversation. And then they finally ended up saying to him one at a time, you know, I understand if I had a dad like that in a relationship that you have, I'd want to go home and see him too. And a family like that. But that's a blessing. That's not promised to me. Tomorrow he could lose his mind and run off. You never know. It's not a promise. But you know what would sustain me? Yes, it would be difficult. It would be hard. You know what? God could take my son home tomorrow. Any of my children. My wife, family, any of them. What's going to sustain me then? It's not my happy circumstance at that moment and everything being kumbaya. No. It is something that's far greater. It is the unchanging relationship with the God of my creation, my Creator, my Savior, my Lord, my Shepherd, my Rock, my Joy, my Hope, my Peace, my Love, my Light. That, brothers and sisters, today is what sustains you when all other ground around us collapses. Do you have true joy today? If not, I want to tell you something. The God of creation loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ in the form of a baby that grew up with one sole purpose, to die for your sin, because God loves you and he knew everything you would ever commit from birth to death and everything in between. And he loved you so much that he paid the price, 3 days later, rose from the grave. And in a sense, when you and I stand before God one day, when you stand in the presence of God, it's a picture, as Jesus says, they're mine. They're mine. Daddy, I paid for them with my blood. I paid their sin debt. They're mine. Is that you today? If not, my second question to you is this, the final thing. Jesus Christ, my second point this morning, Jesus Christ may have opened the doorway of true joy, but have you walked through it? Many people get the knowledge of Jesus Christ being the one and only Savior, that he came to bear a sin debt and rose from the grave, and they think that's wonderful, and they're so thankful they know that, and they want to go to heaven one day. But they mix the knowledge of that with the Bible mandate to confess your sin, believe in your heart, confess your sin, profess it. Ask him to cleanse you, to save you, to be the Lord of your life. They believe that just knowing that is enough. No, the Bible says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Well, that's a private, I don't want to tell anybody that I did that. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you when you come into my Father's kingdom. That's one thing you don't want to be ashamed about. It's an exciting thing. If you're here this morning and you go, you know, I've never told anybody that I got saved. Well, the Bible says, repent and be baptized. If you've never done that, that's not obedience. And why would you not want to do that? It's an exciting thing. God loves you. He was not ashamed of you or I when he died on the cross completely alone. He loved us so much that he was willing to be ashamed and disgraced, dying the lowest of deaths, reserved for the worst of offenders. He died in our place. But praise God, 3 days later, he rose from the grave and victoriously right now is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And this morning, I want you to know, he loves you. You just fill your name in there. When I say it, God loves in your mind, you say your name right now because he does. He knows your struggles right now. He knows your battles right now. He knows my tomorrows. He knows your next week, month, years. He knows, you ready for this? He's already at the day we breathe our last breath. When my heart went to 250 this year in August, I'll never forget when I looked around, I said, well, it's beautiful. The wind was blowing right there on the lake. And I said, well, it's a good place to die. It was a beautiful night. It was actually a storm coming in, but it was still beautiful to see the lightning in the distance. I had no fear. I was fine. I knew that either something was going to get right or something was going to get wrong. I knew that this heart rate was not compatible with life for a long time. But you know what I knew? The peace of God. Do you know that peace today? If that would have happened 15 or 17 years ago right now, I'm going to tell you what, I'd have been a wreck. A complete and utter freaked out wreck. Would probably have had a panic attack on top of that and probably caused myself to go into AFib, or not AFib, but caused me to go into VTAC. Probably caused me to die. The peace of God, the joy of the Lord is your strength this morning. I thank God today that he loves us, but I want you to know something. We got to do it God's way. We don't write the rules. I don't write the rules. I thank the Lord that he gave us his word. It's our roadmap. In every essence, from the day we come to faith in Jesus Christ until the day we breathe our last breath. Are you in the midst of his plan for your life and know every one of these attributes and more? The beauty of brothers and sisters in Christ. I was such an angry man before I came to Christ. Didn't trust anybody. Couldn't stand people because every day policing, what did I do? I saw the filth, the vile, the brokenness in everyone from the most professed holy to the roughest of the rough. And that will get you embittered big time. What happened? When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, God changed my heart. this morning, I want you to know He can do the same for you. If you're here today and want to know that, but maybe you were like me, you're angry, you're frustrated, you see everything going on around you, and you go, God, I don't want nothing to do with this. I want to know peace, but there is nothing around me that resembles anything to do with the joy of anything. No peace, there's no hope. Well, I want you to know this morning there is, but it's only found in Jesus Christ. Bible says what? Today is a day of salvation. I pray if God is working in your heart this morning, the most awesome experience you could have today is to answer His loving call to you. He's calling, if He's calling you, you'll know it. And I want you to know something this morning. His desire is to make you whole. His desire is to fill you with joy today, with peace, with hope. And what is it that happens through the light of Christ, through the Jesus that we know that came in that form of the baby, that paid a sin debt for us, that right now, if you're feeling that desire and need to commit your life to Christ, you're going right now, I want that more than anything. Well, I want you to know, today is the day of salvation. Father God, we thank You, Lord, this morning, God, for the gift of love in Jesus Christ. God, we thank You this morning, Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, all the beauty, God, of everything that You intended for us. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, during this invitation, if there's one here that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, God, they want nothing more right now than to experience what I've been talking about today. God, let them understand You love them, You care for them, You want to save them. Father, if there's ones here today, Lord, that know You as Lord and Savior, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, but they're not where they need to be and need to rededicate their life to You. God, today, give them the obedience and the courage, Lord, to commit, to recommit their life to You, Father, to share that so we can pray with them, pray for them, and encourage them. But God, not let the enemy have one more moment of their joy, peace, their hope, or anything, God, that You have given us as followers of Christ. God, may You be lifted up, exalted, and glorified. You deserve it all, our King of Kings. You're our Lord of Lords. God, I thank You that I cannot begin to fully understand who You are. I can't fully understand the love that You have for us. God, the peace that I have in You. Lord, the hope that we have in You. And just because we can't doesn't change the beauty of what it is. But I thank You that we can trust You, that You're trustworthy, that You love us, that You will never leave us, You'll never forsake us. We commit all this to You this morning, and we ask it in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.